Welcome to Imagine This Podcast,
the show where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and its incredibly vibrant arts and culture community in a new way. Hey, hey, listeners. We've got a special edition show for you today. You hopefully are at our summit with us, but if not...
Not everybody could be with in the
not
summit.
Not everyone could be there.
What's up, Boulder? Shout out to our Boulder people. Shout out to our people. I looked at a map of who like listens and what's up, Turkey? What's up, Fenerbahce, Turkey? What's up? There's like one person in Turkey.
Are there any folks in Uzbekistan listening?
Unless somebody's like set up their VPN to like show up that way, which either way, I want to assume good intentions. So to your point, Lindsay, we got a lot of people in Milwaukee, right? Almost 200 people in Milwaukee are going to be with us today. But
and we sold out. So if you unfortunately couldn't join us for the summit, here's a little bit of a taste.
Sold out.
So we have a special show for you all today. It's a bit of a clip show. And Lindsay, do you want to talk a little bit about how we landed on this clip show for and what how it's connected to the summit, the activity at the summit?
Yeah, well, I've always had a harebrained scheme that we could do something with all of these great Czar of Arts and Culture clips that we have from over the years now of this podcast. Years? Question mark?
Years. Over years.
Year and a half?
Yeah.
Year and a half, something like that.
It's like five in podcast years.
Yeah.
It felt like years putting together all of these segments, by the way, last night.
So, you know, this is, I guess, how Imagine works. I had a crazy idea, but I wasn't actually going to do it. But David volunteered to do it. He volunteered to get in the salt mines of the past podcast recordings and pull out Czar of Arts and Culture clips. Because we've had such incredible ideas through all of our episodes that to see them side by side and see some of the similarities, see some of the energy, felt like it could be really powerful. So here for you today on this podcast, we have a very long version of that. In person at the summit, we'll have a very short version of that. And we're going to invite our 200 participants to write down and share with each other what they would do if they were Czar of Arts and Culture. So we're taking the question to scale and seeing what happens.
On this episode, ahead, David, right? There's going to be like 35 czars.
I think 32 czars.
And in the meeting today that this pod is released, we're going to have about nearly 200 czars. So you can see exponentially, we're doing our best to have as many czars in one place as possible. That's really the aspiration, that everybody sees that they have power in making sure that Milwaukee is a powerful arts and culture city, right?
I think what was really cool going through many of the czar reigns over the weekend was I think that they basically fall into like three main categories, right? One, which is how do we fund arts, culture, and creativity more? The second was really a lot of folks talked about arts education and how we ensure that our kids have access to more arts and culture education, given that that is such a transformative way of getting people into having sort of a new way of thinking about things. And I think the third thing was sort of this idea of how do we make Milwaukee cooler than it already is? And I think as you go through these, as you listen to these next 32 czars, which are not totally inclusive of everybody, they're just a smattering of the 32. The first one, Jim Neuner, is actually our first arts and culture czar. So you'll hear the full intro and everybody else is cut back to back to back to back. We'll have them in the show notes so you know who's talking when. And I just think it was such a fun idea that we finally have brought into fruition.
And for those who we didn't get, it's not because we didn't think you were worthy of being recognized. It's just apparently we recorded on those cassette tapes.
Yeah.
That you had to use your pencil.
That's right.
Loop it back and forth, and so it was really difficult, right, David, to transfer that audio.
And that I was tired of being in the salt mines of Lindsay's creation.
So there you go. So again, hat tip to those who've been the czars. We'll find it, you know, hopefully at a future.
We will hopefully at some point actually catalog all of them. That's my hope, right? Is that I think there are there are probably another 30 or 50 of them in there that I think also have really great recommendations for how to make our city a better and more culturally and artistically vibrant place.
That's right, listeners. Enjoy all the wonderful Czar of Arts and Culture clips now. And hey, also check out social media for summit highlights today. if you're not able to be with us. Through the fire, through the rain, our tomorrow will be a better day.
So, Jim, you didn't know about this. When you walked into this room and you talked with me and David, we have this unique power.
Nice.
We can establish someone to be the czar of arts and culture.
Awesome.
But it only happens in a two-minute burst.
Cool.
And right. Quite candidly, we can't really back up whatever the czar says.
It goes away.
But it goes
the
away.
The recommendations also go away.
It
all goes right.
away in 2 minutes.
Right.
So
everything is only 2 minutes.
We're going to make you the czar of arts and culture of Milwaukee now. What needs to happen to address everything you just talked about?
Okay. Two things that are related, and they're all having to do with resource sharing and collaboration. You know, that the ethos, you know, needs to be that everything is like the Sherman Phoenix, you know, that is community and, you know, business and nonprofits and arts and, you know, that everything we do needs to be that, you know, model that. Everywhere, every new development, you know, going forward, is that, you know, everywhere. Every arts organization that does something does it in that ethos.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. I even, you know, had that can go all the way to, you know, our funders from CAMPAC and the, you know, Arts Board and so on. They no longer fund just one organization. You have to come in with two or three. And I've talked to other arts leaders who would love that. Mm-hmm. It's actually more attractive and more powerful if you have partners. And a lot of times that happens. But making it right now it's the exception. And let's make that the rule.
Right.
You know, that if someone comes in just for themselves for a grant, people would look at it and go, oh, that was odd. I haven't seen one of these in a while. That's the first thing. And the second thing is actually harkening back to the 1920s of Milwaukee. Are you familiar with the City of the Lighted Schoolhouse? The idea?
I moved in 8 years ago, okay. So I'm still learning.
So Milwaukee, look in your history books, was in the beginning of last century, the beginning of the 1910s, 1920s, was called the City of the Lighted Schoolhouse. It was the origin of the MPS recreation was that the city decided that these resources, these Milwaukee public school buildings, should have use all the time. Hence right. The lighted schoolhouse,
yep.
you know, shameless plug for we need to pass the MPS referendum,
yeah.
you know, that's the baseline and then go from there.
Yeah.
That was part of our identity. It was part of our ethos 100 years ago, and it can be again.
Yeah.
The MPS resources, you know, not even, and you can add in the, you know, Milwaukee County Park System is an amazing resource. It's talking about spaces that is underutilized. I so much want to do a performance in North Division Theater. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, that space has amazing space for arts, but is under, you know, talking about underutilized, you know, but also inaccessible because how do you get there? Mm-hmm. So it's all of, those are the two things.
Okay. Well, sales tax enacted. Yes.
Yes.
Done.
Passed.
Okay.
We did it.
Excellent.
Keep spending everybody. Let's raise that money right now in the next 2 minutes.
You know, done. And then next, I would say formalizing the use of an equity lens on really in all organizations, in business, in government, because really small safety nets, people who are hourly workers, people who are independent contractors, and then frankly, you know, people of color, people of historically disenfranchised populations, those are the folks affected. So using an equity lens across the board is going to help our arts and culture sector. And then, you know, I'd love to see a way for businesses to truly value local art, even to a deeper level. As someone that regularly pitches things to businesses, sometimes I see contracts going to marketing agencies where they are willing to pay a marketing agency a lot of money. But when it comes to paying local artists, they say, oh, well, that's a lot. And then I have to explain that artists also eat.
Crazy things like eat and pay rent or a mortgage.
Right. So valuing artists, valuing local artists, investing in all this local talent. So if I can accomplish all those things in my 2 minutes, and then I, you know, if I had any extra time, I would say, hey, creatives, make sure that we are also lobbying our legislators, that we are speaking up and making sure our voice is heard. It's easy to, you know, go do our creative thing and stop doing that. But we have to be part of these bigger conversations.
Yeah.
I think I was thinking about this morning, and it was a very bizarre thing. I was reading that article that somebody took a real dig at murals the other day. I was reading that, and I was thinking about murals, and I was thinking about murals in public places, and I was thinking about historic murals in public places. And I thought about Diego Rivera's murals in the library in Detroit. Mm. And I think my czarist activity would include making sure that there is art accessible in public places that are free. Mm. I think that's really, really important. People need to be able to see beautiful things. Mm. They just do. I think that's a human right. Mm. You know, it shouldn't be something that is reserved for the few. So what's happening with the courthouse, I think that's really cool. I'd like to see more of it. I'd like to see some more WPA style arts projects installed into community spaces so that people can enjoy them.
Michael's first.
Man, I was going to say we should just get 3 minutes total because Ian and I kind of share a brain on a lot of this stuff. So I think it kind of goes back to a little bit about what we were talking about even before we started the podcast. I think investment in making concerted and specific investment in the arts, I think is going to be really important, but doing it in a consistent manner, I think is another piece to that. I think one thing that Ian and I have learned in all of this is that it can be very difficult to bring about change in our community. And I don't know that that's specific to Milwaukee. I think it's just in general can be hard to do, whether you're doing a public art project or anything else. And so I'd love to make things more accessible and figure out ways for people who have ideas that might not be what would be considered a traditional or normal idea. I'm using air quotes, you can't see it. How do we, honestly, this is one way I think to attract people to the city. If we become known, not just as the city that's on the Google Arts and Culture, but also as a city where you can come here with an idea and a new way of thinking and a new way of doing things, where that's going to be received well, and not just received well, but supported and maybe even funded. And that goes everything from, I think, like I said, public art to community investment, neighborhood investment. And we can't keep relying on the same piggy banks to be doing this sort of stuff. The people who have invested in arts and culture to date are amazing people, but there's a finite pool of those dollars. And so until we decide as a culture that this is important to us, that to Ian's point, it's no longer something we do when we have extra money, but rather it needs to be something that we carve out in a budget to do. And it shouldn't just be a measly 1% of a 100+ million dollar construction project. It needs to be something specific. That's when I think we really start to show what Milwaukee can really do. I mean, we're already halfway there, more than. And so I think that's what I would do, David, and I hope I didn't go over 2 minutes if I were the czar.
That's great.
If I get czar for a day, I think
Milwaukee... About 2 minutes.
2 minutes. You get czar for 2 minutes, Ian.
Edit it down. Tangents. I'm going to charge up my computer because I'm going to need it. I think Milwaukee's very much an unfinished city. And the beauty of an unfinished city, and I'll define that like... There's open lots for cheap. There's park space that's unused. In New York, it's not an everything there can only be touched by a billionaire developer. Milwaukee is not that city. If you have grit, look at Caitlin Cullen with her restaurant and some of the mural scenes going up. We are a grit city and we attract people that want to create. And if we're attracting the people that want to create and define the city that they want to be a part of, we have to make the process easier for those ideas to actually come true. Mm. And we cannot just create governing structures to get in the way of public ideas that are vetted and wonderful. Let's just look at the Milwaukee flag. Damn it, that's a cool thing. People are getting tattoos. It is all over the city, and we still have a Martian spaceship on our current flag, and we're tripping over our own ears in City Hall. What the hell are we doing?
Yeah. Well, I hope this small taste of power doesn't go to my head. But yeah, I thought I've been thinking about this. I'd like to see policy action that unites a couple of things, right? So environmental justice, community agency, food security, and the culinary arts. So I've been really involved with that community kitchen project with the library. So I want every family, every person to have the land, the supplies, the time, the skills that they need to grow and preserve their own food in a sustainable way. And the companion piece to that is for us to re-envision what culinary learning looks like from birth to, you know, the end of our time here in the world, where, you know, food is recognized as kind of like a cultural conveyor. Every person is supported in developing knowledge of food history, of food science, the way it nurtures us physically and spiritually. And then where we kind of like as a society, we can expand beyond like a utilitarian view of food and cooking while also guaranteeing food access. So that's doable, right?
So I would establish a tax. That tax would be on existing entertainment, hotels, anything recreational, festivals, and that tax would directly fund art and culture programming for communities that have not traditionally had access before in Milwaukee, in their own neighborhoods. So that we would have a dedicated stream of funding to allow people to vision what they want to live in and the way they want their neighborhood to feel, which art will give that feeling, co-designing their space. And I'd make all kinds of rules around the proximity to which the lead artist lives in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. No one man should have this much power.
It is daunting. We recognize.
spread your privilege out. Like, give it up. Like, help other people. Help who helped you. Believe in each other. I think we can help all the boats rise by, helping each other out. And all that jealousy stuff, it's like ego. And just know that, like, if you help someone else, then that's going to help your work. And eventually it's going to come back around. So I think, if I had to be the culture czar, I would say, like, let's collaborate, and let's figure out, let's figure out how to create an ecosystem that supports the art, rather than let's create stars or let's create like celebrities. Let's create a really big system that, like, where we can all survive making art and being creative. That's my goal. That's my goal. And let's not just do it within our bubbles. Let's not do it within our scenes necessarily. Like, let's do it within our scenes and get our people together, but then let's empower the other people that, like, maybe don't always have access to the same materials that you do, or the same network, like, spread out the network, grow the network, make the art better. Like, let's, it's not just doing it. Like, we got to make it, like, fucking dope.
Well, I think, let me just disclaim this by, into this great pause where a lot of people are at home and they're reading books and they're listening to podcasts and they're watching films and watching episodic TV. I think we should appreciate people creating things, like, whether it's the art hanging on your wall, the art, like that when you walk through the park, it's like, those are the things that sort of add color and tech, it's like the Wizard of Oz, right? It's like, without all that, we'd be in the black and white part of the Wizard of Oz. And then with this art that we're able to focus on now during the Great Pause,
it's Technicolor. It's bright. It adds so much value. It adds so much emotion and so much vicarious, you know, engagement of life. So basically, I would say that I would love to focus. I mean, we've created some amazing art. I mean, look in the last year. Look at Give Me Liberty. I had friends from France call me and say, "Hey, I just saw this movie about Milwaukee." I have a friend who lives on an island off of Spain who's like, "I just saw this movie about Milwaukee. It's amazing." So when we do create good stuff, it does get out there. The trick is how can we create money and funding to get this out there? And I would create more public funding. I would create more private funding.
Yeah.
And I would encourage, and I've been a part of this with certain large Milwaukee companies, is how can you get Milwaukee creators the resources to create? Because when they do, it's absolutely amazing. So it would really be just opening up the funding, you know? In February, I had great starving Milwaukee artists saying, "Hey, you got anything to edit? You know, like I'm barely making my credit card payment." And that was before the great pause, you know? Yeah. And these are people who I would think in Canada, in Europe, would be maybe more considered national or local treasures. And there would be some accommodation for which they could live and make art so that they didn't have to do all these side hustles, which sort of watered down some of the effort. So
yeah.
I would say, if I were Czar, I would say, money, 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 resources, in kind, help. That's it.
Flood the system.
Flood the system.
I guess Ray is starting. I'll kind of freestyle this, right? And I'll even give myself a pat on the back and say we've already helped start implementing some policies for creatives. Yeah. I want to shout out all the Alderman Cogs and Alderman Stamper for the Arch program, which is taking city-owned houses and turning them into artists in residency spaces. So it's about three arts programs now that are on the books for the city of Milwaukee. And the city gives $100,000, $25,000 to each house for the artists to help with rehab and things of that nature. So that's some of the policies that's already in place. But new policies, I would like to see whether that's at a state level or a county level or a city level, right? Departments that is focused on talent retention and talent elevation, right? Investment, let's say retention and investment. And what that focuses on is distressed communities where kids are extremely creative, but all the creative things have been pulled out of the programs for them, and figure out how we invest in them that way, putting it back into schools, after school programs, things of that nature. So I'll probably figure out some sort of talent investment and retention department. And they got to have $1 billion to operate, though.
Yeah. Ray's like, I want that budget. Don't shortchange me.
I'm dead serious. Yeah, I'm sorry. Dead serious.
I believe that. I believe that. Thank you. Thanks for getting that started. Who's next? We'll keep that policy going. That's in play. What's another policy? Pass it around.
Well, this is Q. Yeah. And the policy that I would pass would probably be tax credit. So it would be a mix between like the film tax credit and like creative tax credit. We have them in WDC as a qualified new business venture. So if you invest $100, I'm just giving even numbers. If you invest $100, I think you get $25 tax credit if you invest in the tech companies. So that's the same thing should be if we invest into music artists, if we invest into films. And in that way, we would bring a lot of outside films into Wisconsin, but then also a lot of the artists that, you know, need push, you need to put some money behind an album or a video, that person would get the actual a tax break for doing that. So that's what I would institute.
Great. Thanks, Q. Mikhail.
Yeah, I was thinking along the same lines as Q with this one, having some type of tax break or something to really incentivize investment in talent here. Whether it's some type of tax credit or something like that, but some type of tax break that would, you know, really incentivize someone to want to invest in our local talent and us being able to really build that up. So that it's attractive to folks to want to invest.
The first policy that I would pass is that that all, not all, yeah, all, forget it. I'm the czar.
Yeah, that's right. You have the power, man.
Yeah, it's not a democracy. I'm a czar. that all funding that comes into the city, that comes into the state, has to go through a creative arts board that gets a percentage to divvy up amongst the proper, right? Like, and that board has to be representative of both independent and non-independent arts. So from all disciplines, right? From architects to rappers, everybody's got to be there. Everybody has to be represented. And both on the independent side, again, and on the more like unionized side. That would be the first thing that I would pass. I would mandate that. That would be absolutely necessary.
Social prescribing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think let's make an experiment. Let's do it. Western Massachusetts is doing it. Providence, Rhode Island is embarking on it. Yeah. We have the capacity here. Milwaukee is a perfect lab. It is a perfect lab. You can get to yes here. it knows it has deep problems, but I have not really seen communities like this that are saying let's try this. And some of that's the philanthropic sector, some of that is just a dynamism of people who come and go. There's like a nice, as other cities where people stay, it can kind of get rigid. But we have a fluid in and out, and yet a return of people. It's a really perfect space.
Like yourself, you're a return, right? You're kind of the example of a return.
Yeah, my dad grew up here.
Yeah.
And I think that's to me. And also, this is the other one.
All right. We got time.
This is a little controversial. Instead of the arts board, in Milwaukee, do the same thing in the county.
Yeah.
You get artists in every department of city and county
government.
So that they're embedded.
Yes.
And they're infused into what's happening, because those community engaged artists can deepen the community engagement, enhance the understanding between the initiatives, make them more responsive to each other.
Yes.
That is what we need.
Yeah.
Put them in every single one, transportation, housing, public safety, everything.
It is a travesty that the state of Wisconsin, Milwaukee County, the city of Milwaukee do not invest in arts because they don't.
Right.
I mean, you look at the city of Milwaukee, the arts board, maybe I'm probably giving them too much credit. Maybe give out $500,000 a year. I mean, it's not the fault of the people that are administrating it.
Yeah.
It's the fault that our government doesn't put any stock in the arts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We literally had to create UPATH in order to supplement the arts in Milwaukee. And you look at other states. I mean, Minnesota's a good example. Right. I mean, they actually have line items in their state budget for supporting the arts.
Okay, I have a public answer, and then maybe over drinks we can have.
Fair enough.
No, we'll take that. That's fine.
It's gonna sound. Let me just preface this by saying, I love the art scene in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I'd say nearly everyone that I could even think of, I respect and have a relationship with in theater, and have worked with. But I do think at some point, in order for there to be really big change, some people have to be willing to move out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever want it to be ugly. Of course, I want it to be an acknowledgement and then sharing, and whether that's opening it up and then you transition out. And I do believe if I was czar, I would plant that seed in those people, because I don't want to control anyone. I would want them to come to it, but hopefully paint a clear enough picture for them to see that if I can't do this, if I am in the way, if I am asking people under me and around me to continuously educate me so I'm comfortable with change, maybe I need to move.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to be and feel good about it. Mm-hmm. That's what I want for Milwaukee. Yeah. And I think that is really possible. Yeah. The next 10 years in Milwaukee is going to look very different, the art scene. I do believe, I firmly believe, you're going to see a Black artistic director of a theater company. I do believe that you are going to see a BIPOC artist running Milwaukee Ballet or Dance Works or Wild Thing or a Milwaukee Art Museum. I do believe it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I do believe. I just don't want it to happen because someone's been pushed and forced out.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to get it and then make that transition. That's what I would do at Czar.
Mm.
Okay, first policy is I would demand that, to our earlier point, $50 million be put in a fund that generates enough interest to create an artist fund for films.
Yeah.
Second thing is I would immediately cede power to anyone that's not me.
You're out. You're in, that, you did it, and you're out.
Yeah, I would get the money there and then I would back the hell away and let somebody that is not a straight white guy run that shit because it's, you know, somebody else's turn. So that's what I would do.
If I was the czar of arts and culture, I would make sure that every child, every adult had access to it and understood their own artistry and their own life. I would make it so that we don't stop singing, we don't stop dancing, we don't stop connecting. You know, I would just make it that this, you know, this world would be a creative world that doesn't get lost in the trauma and the cementing into the trauma and keeps sort of evolving in that spirit of love and compassion and friendship and relationships. So that's what I would do as a czar.
I will make theater, to attend theater, completely free.
Mm-hmm.
And also, can I tag on to this?
It's your world.
I'm the czar.
It
needs to, theaters really need to be like the meeting place. I mean, that's what it was in the Greek theater, and need to be a place where people gathered and they exchanged ideas. I think it's called the Archon, what it was in Greek theater, where people gathered. And so in addition to making theater free so that we eliminate cost as a barrier to participation, we also transform all the lobbies of theaters into awesome coffee shops and a place of gathering so people actually see it as a neighborhood place where they can come, and that, you know, people, there might be musicians there. But I'm missing in theaters with all these very fancy lobbies. They're so inaccessible, like people don't know that they can come in. And this is a service, this is a not-for-profit theater. This is a service that we give to the community. So we have to make it so. So free coffee.
free coffee. This is incredible.
Free theater.
Yes. Adrales 2020 right here. This is it. It's happening. Four more years.
I want us to embrace the diversity of our communities and celebrate the arts and culture that come from our communities better. I told you guys, I grew up here, right? And one of my fondest memories growing up is in our community, we used to have something called Holiday Folk Fair. I think it was at the Wisconsin Center or a big conference center that was basically a weekend long cultural celebration, right? Of arts, cuisine. And no joke, it was like an exhibition center that every cultural group in our community set up, and you'd walk around with a little passport and you'd taste test a little food from their community. And then across the hall, there would be exhibit space where different community groups could sell, small businesses could sell little things from their culture, their community. And then the third exhibit space, which is where I unfortunately got my dancing shoes handed to me, was like cultural dancing. And so my goal, I want that back. I want that holiday folk fair format culture back. So that's my czar policy here, is how do we make that happen? Because it had a lasting effect in my head of how we celebrated ourselves as a diverse community when I was young, and it went away. I hope it comes back.
So, so you know, when I was in Denver, I was blown away by this program they had called the Scientific, Cultural, and Financial District, FCFD.
Ooh. Okay.
And the FCFD.
The SCFD.
FCFD.
The FCFD.
A tax.
No, man.
A sales tax.
Sales very tax.
Small, like whatever. I don't know. It was like a penny or something, 2-3 cents. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But that tiny sales tax resulted in some crazy amount of money every year, $60 to $70 million for Denver County Arts and Culture.
Wow.
And that was divvied up over the, I think it's 7 counties within the Denver metro.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty big. It's a lot. And I was so impressed with how FCFD came about, which I think was maybe 15, 20 years ago. And they just, you know, re-upped it recently, and how they administered the funds and how it really brought forth an arts and culture scene that probably wouldn't exist if FCFD funding didn't exist.
Right.
Now, we all know that culture taxes are, not just in Milwaukee, but in general, are a controversial topic.
Yeah.
But I feel like the benefit of that in raising up the arts and culture community, if I were the czar, I think that's something I might want to look at.
Yeah.
Because it works, and it really has a very low impact on, you know, the taxpayer, I guess, because it's part of the sales tax. Now, again, this is controversial because I know there's all issues with sales tax, and I'm not saying Milwaukee should do that, but in my fantasy world of being arts and culture czar, I was just really impressed with that program, and I think it's something that could be a model for other cities.
No, thank you. That was the question that I was referencing earlier, is I knew this question was coming, and I was like, yeah, I really think that in terms of uplifting arts and culture, we need to have it more embedded from the start in the value system of our education. You know, we push STEM all the time, and it's not that STEM isn't great, but it's incomplete without the arts, and the arts are incomplete without a more holistic view of the world that it lives within. You know, we've very much as a culture separated the arts from everything else that we do. And so for me, it's like, well, you want other people to just naturally engage with it. Well, how can it just naturally be a bigger part of their life? And that's through just, again, the integration, making STEAM the focus for just education in terms of critical thinking and problem solving, but also how the arts can be more embedded into our everyday lives in a way that is meaningful and cherished, and not just, oh, you're some fancy person who has your work literally on a pedestal, you know? So yeah, kind of bridging that gap by starting with education, because that's where we learn most of what we know about the world. So that's what I would do.
Or what I would wave my czar wand over is I would eliminate any barriers to travel. And I would encourage all of our youth to explore the world and to immerse themselves in other cultures, whether that's arts, design, fashion, architecture, cuisine, music, whatever that is go out and explore the world and then absorb all of that and then bring that life lesson back here with you to Milwaukee and implement the best of everything that you ever experienced and become that inspiration to others to really make space for creativity, for the way in which others celebrate arts and culture, but it also will allow them and us to really open ourselves to, you know, breaking outside of that mold and thinking differently. So that's what I would do if I was czar for a day.
Beth, that's the long play, because I can only imagine, wait, we're spending money to send our kids away? What's going on? But Beth's like, no, this is going to play out. Trust me, this is it.
We're manifesting it, Mac. We're manifesting it.
Jeff, what will you be enacting?
I would like to see a emerging arts council established. And the hub would be in Milwaukee, downtown Milwaukee, and there would be a representation from all neighborhoods in a way to cultivate it, and kind of going back to what we did with the lookbook, and as we said, the mentoring with the MATC students and things like that. So this emerging arts council could be emerging, you know, designers or musicians, artists, you know, whatever. And connect them with those who are already seasoned in those different areas of discipline. And then the project would be how to connect the city through their emerging gifts and their emerging arts.
So my superpower, my czar move would literally be that in every space that gets revitalized, there has to be an aesthetic or art or design component that is incorporated within there. And, you know, I would also say, my friend Lafayette Crump, I would pair with him and say that we've got to, what's happened downtown is fantastic, but can we do that with the other parts of our city that, it's a shame when I go past the Northridge area, what it's become, and knowing what it was as a kid, that all my friends were working at the mall, working at the theater. It was a vibrant part of the community. So I would say going in there and just making that whole strip of Brown Deer Road all the way through, like something that is aesthetically, like you get into accidents, right? Because you're looking at all the great stuff happening around you. And I think about that when I go to, like, you know, newer Western, Southwestern cities, right? That happens when I went to Houston and Austin and other places, visiting, 22 states and 50 some cities over that course of time with Ways to Work. It was always, I looked at those cities and was like, oh man, how could we incorporate something like that here? That's really beautiful. It's aesthetically pleasing. And you were always, regardless of how big or how small these towns were, we went to small places like Lynchburg, Virginia, or Roanoke, or whatever, the town pride that they had in their beautification efforts and, you know, creating river walks or whatever it was, it was unbelievable. And seeing, people putting you in their car, right? They're just like, well, how about we just drive around for an hour before we get to like the next meeting? Or how about we do this after dinner or between lunch? We got a little time. Do you want to see this? And board members, right? We used to have board members that would host us once a year for an offsite out of Milwaukee trip. So, going into Nashville and really seeing the city from a Nashville person's perspective and what they thought, even, post-recession at the time and what was happening. And they said, well, yeah, we took a bath in that project, but in the end, it was something that we could all still feel prideful about. And we know that this is still going to be like, we got to go all in. We're going to take a bath. We're going to take another bath on this and put more money. Maybe it's down a bad wormhole, but we'll come out of it the other side eventually. So but we've got to be in these things together. So I think that's the biggest thing is, can we make investments that people feel really good about from a civic perspective and say, this is why people are going to want to come here and stay here. Right? You don't want people coming and saying, well, hey, I lived in that place for 5 years. I can do without it again. You want, even if they have to leave, you want them to say, I really miss being there. And here's why.
Any policy like that in this day and age has to start with equity. And I think funding Black Indigenous people of color, funding artwork in those communities has to be the top priority. Has to be. And I think, especially in a place like Milwaukee, where you have these segregated areas, even funding, like, I know we're all virtual now, but it's not going to be forever. The vaccines are rocking right now. It's not going to be forever. I think putting some brick and mortar, arts and culture facilities and funding them like crazy in, north side, south side of Milwaukee, and some of these communities of color that have not had type of brick and mortar arts investments in their communities. I think that's number one on the list for me.
I'll start, Bob, and give you the last word.
in our family, we have a 7-year-old. I would make sure that every child has access to as much education, arts education, as they wanted. I think that that is, it's transformative, it's important, and understandably, there's a lot of priorities in education. But I think that the opportunity for children to express themselves is something that is, it creates a whole child, and that's what I would do if I had the power for a day. But then I would hand it over to my good colleague and friend Bob Babish, and he would do what?
I would agree with you wholeheartedly about funding to help education for the youth of the city, but I also would want to make sure that we nurture the small theater events and the club music events and bring jazz clubs back to town. And some of this stuff has to be subsidized somewhere, somehow. Mm. But we don't want to lose those small moments of creating art that are around the city. It's important, and it's important for all the citizens, and it's important for the people that create the art.
My first and most important policy as the art and culture czar would be to mandate that every adult every year has to have a specifically an art experience. And they have to do some reflection in how that art experience either made them think differently or celebrated something, a memory of their own. Because they think about a lot of folks who say, "Oh my goodness, I haven't been to the museum since I was in sixth grade and I took that field trip." Well, you have to go this year. Because it's Dasha's the czar and it's now a law. Or your entire Netflix account's going to get shut down. I'm just saying, things can go bad. Things can go badly for you. But what it invites people to do is where it's not this foreign, I did something super special today. I went to the symphony. I did something really incredible. I rode down and checked out some of the murals. You have to do this. And if you don't do it regularly, you have to do it at least once a year. And once we get that rolled out, and I'm going to continue my term, it'll have to be quarterly. So four times a year. But we're going to start, at the bases. We have to get all the infrastructure in place. We're going to track it.
You are in pros. Yes. You thought about it.
But just think about the fact that you take in art, right? So both of you, this is your world and your life and your work now. And you have, there are people in your personal network, family and friends who think that's odd. And think it's curious and find it miraculous that you would invest any of your time in this thing that it's only been, or so many people, their exposure to art, be it theater or dance or whatever, has been through field trips in school. And then once you're out of that net, you have that net pulled away from you, what is the invitation to continue with art? And then on top of that, the way art is introduced, the only things as an adult, the only things you thought counted were ballet and the symphony and traditional theater. For a lot of other reasons, I know it's a whole other talk show for another day. But you think about the stuff that you figured out that you understand differently now as a grown up.
Yeah.
Right. So continuing that and making that a part of people's adult experience, it's more than just taking in art because it's pretty. Then you're taking in art because it's reminding you of all the ways there are to human. It's taking in art because it's going to remind you of those feelings that you have, those curious questions that you have, those awkward and majestic relationships that you have had. And it just reminds you that you're okay too. So yeah, that's what art does. So that would be my move as the art and culture czar. Make that mandatory art consumption.
As a czar, I would make sure that the arts that are maybe not seen as respected are respected, are protected, and uplifted. Mm. So things like comedy, which is an art. I said it before, and I'll say it again. Comedy is an art.
Absolutely.
It should be as respected as theater, as respected as a painting, as respected as anything in this community. And I would make sure that it was protected and uplifted in the community.
Nice.
And everyone has to come to shows here.
Mandatory attendance.
By law.
Mandatory decree.
Really using that czar to
Yeah, he's taking a page out of that playbook there, the czar part. What about you, Caitlin or Matt?
If I were czar, I would definitely increase all arts funding in schools.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I went to smaller private schools, and so people think that private schools have super crazy budgets. Not all of them do. And so we had very small arts programs. You know, we didn't have like a proper drama program. We just did like a fall play and a spring musical. But I know there are lots of kids that don't have the opportunity to even touch a musical instrument or read, you know, a Shakespearean play or Mamet. You know, I want kids to be able to experience art and for there to be no stigma, especially when it comes to boys being in the arts. Mm-hmm. I remember in college when I really got into theater, the audition process, there was always like 30 women and 4 guys auditioning. And it's just like the guys could have any level of talent or experience and they would automatically get cast because you just needed a guy, you know?
Caitlin, I think you're describing higher education, unfortunately. That's a trend of higher ed right now. Just, who's going to college? That might be an early harbinger.
Now the czar of colleges.
Yeah, you're now the czar of college. You gotta get more.
My college did have I think we had a 1-7 ratio though too. So, more art in all the schools.
I was going to say funding as well, not just in schools, but across the board, mainly because my favorite Onion headline of all time, I have this actually cut out from the physical paper at my office at home. It says, I'm going to butcher it a little bit, but it says, high school cuts sports programming. Just kidding. It's the arts again. And that's hilarious because
it's true. It's because it's true.
And to me, that's the main problem is lack of funding for arts across the board. Mm-hmm. There needs to be funding for the arts, just like what Caitlin said, in the educational system so that people can be introduced to it at an early level. And it doesn't mean we need to just start art careers early on. I think you would all agree that having artistic skills work so well with business. And I wish I had had some business skills growing up, which I had to learn, you know, kind of the hard way. For me, it would be funding and proper education for the arts. The arts in itself needs to have a business program associated with how, you know, not, I don't mean getting an arts degree in nonprofit management.
Right.
I mean, anybody with a theater or an arts or a music degree should also be taking business classes so that they know how to sell themselves, so they know how to market themselves.
Yeah.
Business people should be taking theater and improv classes so that they're better at giving presentations in a boardroom or, you know, negotiation. To me, they all work so hand in hand, and the real problem is they have been separated so much. And so unseparate that and you know, just find the money. It's so easy, right?
We know it's there. We know it's there.
Yeah.
We know it's there.
Add to mine, sustainability too. I would love it for, you know, some art experiences like theater, symphonies, orchestras to be a little less expensive, but I totally get it. They need their money too. I get it. But I just wish there was more funding for that so tickets could be less expensive. People from every sort of background could see great art.
Think of all of our guests. You have had the most ambitious platform and the most prolific platform. You're like, this and while I'm here, I got this.
Gonna keep it going. You know, I always kind of think it feels like we're casting for like the next great arts representative. So, you know, we're gonna hire you to go talk to some some government folks or something. How about that?
We need y'all.
Yeah. That would I wouldn't have had as much of an impact if everybody got a puppy. So
I just feel like a person for not saying funding. Spreading love.
No, I didn't want to get too snarky in the intro, but yeah, David, thanks for getting into the salt mines of my creation. Now you know what it's like. Now you know what it's like.
This is a bit of my own taste of the salt that's in the mines. That's right. But what a lovely thing that we've been able to put together. Mac, actually, I meant to ask in the intro, do you remember how this came up in our podcasting? Because it was not a feature in our first three episodes. It just magically appeared with Jim Neuner.
Yeah, I don't know if it was one of the things. I guess this is a behind the music kind of thing. I wonder if it was a preset play. You know, I remember one of our other favorite questions is tell us your arts and culture sort of origin story. Was we stole that from Lindsay's pod, but I don't know if there's, I think it just goes back to if I ruled the world kind of thing, right? Yeah, I think that just in sort of intuition, and we knew that every guest probably had a take, given that we'd already kind of got them going for 30 minutes. I'd like it. I hope to think by that point they'd have a strong point of view of like what would be better. It would be even better if that. But I think that's the essence of,
yeah.
So unless it was a quiz. Was that a quiz? Like, do you have the answer?
I don't know. I literally don't remember because I listened to in those salt mines. I listened to the first few episodes because I wanted to go back to the original, and it was the first one that came up was the episode with Jim Neuner.
Well, either way, as we continue this, I think it's a question that's evergreen because you know I think every guest that we have really is passionate about arts and culture, passionate about Milwaukee, and it's important to have that out there. Right, to get that inspiration out there. So, well, we're gonna keep asking it as long as you keep coming on. And you know what's most important? We need people to listen. So thanks so much to our listeners. If you enjoy this episode and would like to support the pod, please share it with others, post about it on social, leave a rating or review, or contact us directly at pod@imaginemke.org.
Imagine This Podcast is a team effort produced, edited, and hosted by MacArthur Antigua, David Lee, and Lindsay Sheridan. Make sure you go back and also listen and subscribe to back episodes of Black Imagination and Arts Forward MKE, all of which can be found at imaginemke.org/podcasts.
To catch all the latest from Imagine MKE, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at @imagine_MKE or Facebook at @imaginemke. Thanks again, and we will catch you next Tuesday when we will have another guest from our city's incredible arts and culture scene. See you then.